Most of you dads are probably this way. I know I'm this way. I would prefer humorous. As a father, I would prefer to receive a card like this more than anything. As far as fathers go, I could have done a lot worse. Picture of one of the worst
fictional villains of all time there. There's usually a difference between the Father's Day and Mother's Day sermons as well. In Mother's Day sermons, you have loving children, rising up and calling mom blessed. And on Father's Day, you have preachers rising up telling fathers to do better. That's the way it happens a lot of times. Well, there's a reason for that, first of all. First of all, men like to be challenged to rise up. God put that within us. But we don't like to be beat up. And I don't believe that's ever happened here. But this isn't going to be one of those type sermons today where you're going to get beat up. But I hope it will be encouraging. There's going to be some exhortation to it. But I think there's a practical help here. It's something we're going to look at in the Scripture that will really help us, help our children, and really help us help our families. What I don't want today, and what God doesn't want today, is for you to leave feeling guilty. I want you to leave inspired as to how I can point my son or daughter, my grandchild, to Christ better. And that's the goal of this passage here today that we're going to look at. Look, if you would, in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now, I'll tell you, and my children will tell you, I am not the best man to preach this sermon. Some of the truths that I'm going to look at here today, I'm still learning, and I'm still connecting with. Some of this just clicked recently with me. I practice this imperfectly. But as you'll see, as we go along through this, the goal of a father isn't to be perfect. The goal of a father is, when you mess up, to point to Jesus and show how perfect He is. And we'll say that several times as we go throughout this. Deuteronomy chapter 6, we're going to read verses 1 through 7 here. Now, these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all His statutes and His commandments which I commanded thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We're going to talk about by the way dads today. By the way dads. Let's ask for the Lord's help. Lord, our greatest desire is to point to You, our Heavenly Father, to point to Your Son, Jesus Christ, the perfect relationship that Y'all have. And I can't make much of Jesus, I can't make much of You, Father, without the help of the Holy Spirit. And I ask for His filling now, for His power. But Lord, I don't want to be seen here. Would You put me to the side? Would You make Christ preeminent? Lord, the ones who are here today who are hurting, I ask that You would minister to them. Lord, I ask that You would show each one of us men here the role that we have in making disciples, and that as we rise up to do this, that it would be something that brings glory to Your name. And we do ask it in the name of Jesus and for the glory of His kingdom. Amen. Here's the background of this passage. Israel is going into the land. They're going to possess the land, Canaan. They're going to go in and conquer the land. And as they're going in, God wants to be sure that Israel doesn't stray from Him. He knew the temptation would come. He knew the temptation would come specifically when they got comfortable and they had everything they needed. Look, if you will, in chapter 6, down at verses 10 through 12. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which He sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou fieldest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage.
There is something about human beings. When we have everything we need, we tend to forget God. The author of Proverbs actually said this. He prayed and he says, God, let me just be kind of middle of the road as far as what I have. Don't let me be poor so that I curse you, but don't let me be rich so that I don't forget you as well. And so God here, he knows that they're going to get to this point of being comfortable, and he is concerned that the knowledge of him and his truth be passed on to the following generations. His preventative strategy, if you will, was to make sure that every child who grew up in Israel knew him and knew his commandments. And as he did that, as he was telling them this, he told them how to do it. And it's found in verses 6 and 7 here. Now let me go ahead and state up front. The church is not Israel. We know that they are separate and they are distinct. But we do know that we as Christians have the responsibility to raise up generations who know Christ and who don't forget Him. Isn't that right? So this gives us a pattern for how we can do it. Now, the word isn't used in the Old Testament to disciple someone. It's not used in the Old Testament that I'm aware of. However, I believe Deuteronomy chapter 6 describes a father making disciples of his children. And shouldn't that be our goal, fathers, to make disciples of our children? Jesus told us to go into all the world and to do what? To make disciples. So do we disciple the world but not disciple our own kids? Now, I'm going to say some things today that are going to be on the edge a little bit, because I want to get us thinking outside of the box. I want us to move out of our comfort zone a little bit. Some of the things I might say initially are going to be a little bit shocking, but sometimes you need that shock in order to get us to think more clearly. So let's go ahead and dive in here. How in the world do we go about making disciples of our children, if that indeed is a goal of ours? Well, the first thing you have to do, Dad, is be a disciple yourself. You can't disciple your children unless you have come to the point of being a disciple yourself. Now look here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 and 6, what it says. He's talking, the context here is he's talking to dads. And he says, and you, or thou shalt, or you, dad, shalt love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. So the very first thing that we need to do is be a disciple ourselves. God is concerned that the number one priority of a dad be that the dad pursues him. Will we do that perfectly? No. I don't do it perfectly. I'm sure no man here does that perfectly. You will always want more. You will always feel that you are lacking. You will always feel that you need to be closer to God. But that is part of the hunger that God puts in a believer to pursue Him, to where we are never totally satisfied. We always want more and more of God. We always want more and more of Christ. The question is the overall trajectory of your life, Dad, bending towards the pursuit of God? When your children see you, do they see someone who follows imperfectly? Yes, but who by and large is on a path that puts him towards greater knowledge of God and greater knowledge of Christ. Tell your kids that you aren't perfect. They know it already. Tell them that. Here's another thing. Remember this. Dads, you cannot make your children love God. I see some dads nodding. Isn't that true? You cannot make your children love God, but you can love Him. You can walk in His grace. You can bask in His forgiveness. And you can routinely tell your children how glorious our Jesus is. And you can create, by that pattern, by that example, the pattern of someone who loves God, and show them how to do it, and show them that it is worth doing it. Because you have to understand, everyone in the world is saying it's not worth loving God. It's not worth having that devotion. It's not worth pursuing Christ in this way. It is our responsibility to show them that. Tell your kids, I don't follow Jesus perfectly, but let them see you doggedly following Him regardless of the circumstances. No matter what comes up, no matter how many times you get knocked down, let your children see you following God in a dogged manner, not giving up. It says in Psalm 37, the righteous man falls seven times and rises yet again. And that's the type pattern that we set for our children. Do you want children who make Christ preeminent? Do you want children who love Him with all of their heart? Do you want children who are disciples of Jesus? First, be one yourself. Now, this is simple, and some of the things I'm going to say today, boy, Matt, this is really simple. Well, sometimes I find out in simplicity, we find the solutions to some of the things that we're looking for. So we're going to make disciples of our children. Number one, be a disciple yourself. Then the second thing that we do if we're going to disciple our children is we actually disciple them. It's something that's intentional and not accidental. God gives us two divisions here in this chapter or in these verses of what a father can do to make a disciple or to convey truth to his children. The first thing that you can do is you can disciple them by teaching. Look at the beginning of verse 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children. He's talking about the commands of God. The knowledge of God. I see this diligent teaching as the times of instruction that a father has with his children. Set aside times, structured times of instruction. Someone might call them devotions or wisdom search. In our family, we do some of that. We do catechism as well. A systematic conveying of truth and memorizing truth. Maybe it's a time that you work with them to memorize Scripture. Teaching them. I consider this teaching to be kind of across the table or sitting down in your living room and you're talking about the Lord. You're intentionally talking about Him. You have your Bible open and you're doing that. I remember growing up, I knew that most days, not every day, but I knew that most days our family would open the Word and we would gather around the Scripture. Was my dad perfect at it? No. But we had God's Word coming in our hearing on a regular basis. I can tell you some stories about how much the children did not want to do that at 5:30 in the morning. It seemed for me more mornings than not, I had a cold wet rag in my face, trying to get me up to go and participate. Was it perfect? No, but it was something that was necessary, and was it something that helped? Absolutely. Time and time again, we were exposed to truth, and there are many dads here who do that. It's commendable. Keep doing that. Don't stop. But Deuteronomy chapter 6 and discipleship go beyond merely giving our children truth in a teaching setting. In that definite instruction aspect. There's a second aspect that I think is addressed here in this chapter. If you're talking about this being discipling your children in a sense, then what you need to do is disciple them through teaching, but you disciple them through living life. Notice he says, teach them, talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. This is life. It encompasses the whole day. And what this is telling me here is, dads, don't miss this. Devotions don't convey the whole picture. Devotions aren't the full deal. Here's one shocking thing. Devotions are a tool, not a command. There's nowhere in Scripture where you're told, Dad, sit down every morning at 5:30 in the morning or 6 o'clock, open your Bible with your children and read it. That command is not in Scripture that I know of. The command to convey truth to them and to help them love God is there. Devotions aren't a command, they are a tool. You can have devotions and not disciple your children. You can have devotions every single day of their life and still not disciple your children? Did you know you can also disciple your children without having devotions every day? This is a shocking statement. I'm trying to get us to think outside of the box. Is it possible that you could disciple your children without ever having devotions? Think about that. Well, if we look at the spirit of what's being said here, we'll realize that our discipling of our children isn't limited to just one little spot of time during the day. It's throughout the whole day. It's in everything that we do. I'm not dissing devotions. Devotions are better than nothing. But devotions, just because you do devotions in your family, doesn't necessarily mean that it's spiritual leadership. It's not. Why would it not necessarily be spiritual leadership if you do devotions every day? Well, there are, and I've seen this. I've seen it from groups and programs who are very intent on this, but I've seen dads guilted into doing devotions every day. I've seen wives guilt the husband into doing devotions every day. I've seen preachers do it. We wouldn't do it intentionally, but it's like, Dad, if you aren't doing this every day, you are a failure as a father. And so the dad trudges along every day doing this, trying to make sure that he is doing his duty. Sometimes it's the wife who is sitting there and goading along. If the wife is hounding you to lead spiritually and you do devotions or something like that to satisfy her, that's not spiritual leadership. That's drudgery and misery. And devotions become something that you finish after the 15 or 20 minutes, and when it's over with, well, did that duty for the day. Check. What's next? And if there's never any intentional teaching, conveying of truth throughout the rest of the day, we've missed the picture. We've missed it entirely. If you don't do what I'm going to talk about here, let me tell you something. This is a freeing approach. Keep doing the devotions, okay? But add this in. And this is a freeing approach. This is great. It's exciting. To me, at least, as I've discovered it, it's fun. And here's the challenge today. Become a by-the-way dad. Not by-the-way. By the way, I remember something. Not that. I'm talking about by-the-way, as it talks about here, in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Look at what it says. I want to focus in on this phrase. He says, teach your children about God when thou walkest by the way. That's living life. That's just going about doing what you normally do. Understand, everything about God doesn't have to be a discourse. When you're talking with your children, and you want to teach them something about God, it doesn't have to be a 30-minute conversation backed up with footnotes and references to make sure you've got everything nailed down right. It's the simple truths that we convey about God and the truth of Scripture as we go through the day that will stick with your children and that will mean more to them in the long run as they see you living it out. By the way, what does that mean? It means that you are using life to bring truth to their level and you are relating it and applying it to life. Just as you go along, you see something. And you're thinking, God, make me aware today of ways that I can take what's happening and show you to my children through this. There are two examples in Scripture of this by the way type teaching. While you walk by the way. The first one is actually in the Old Testament in Joshua. You remember when Israel was about to go into the land and God told Joshua, He said, I want you to take 12 stones from the river. You're going to take the 12 stones from the river and you're going to put them on the bank of the other side of Jordan. And why were those stones going to be there? He said, because someday, Dad, you're going to be walking along with your son and your son's going to say, Dad, what mean these stones? Why are these stones here? Just walking by the way, doing your normal thing, and that's Dad's chance to say, Son, those stones are a sign of the mighty God that we serve. Let me tell you what God did. It was here that we got up to the Jordan River in its flood stage, and we needed to get across, and we had no way across, and God miraculously parted that river, caused it to stop flowing so that we could go across. Now, Israel was given this charge, and we find out later on that the fathers did not do a good job of discipling their children, because you get to the book of Judges right after Joshua, and it says in Judges chapter 2 that there arose a generation that knew not God nor His mighty works. The truth, the knowledge of God, His mighty works, His glory had not been transmitted to the next generation. And I'll tell you, it wasn't transmitted to the next generation because they weren't taught, but they also weren't discipled in this by-the-way type discipleship. By-the-way type discipleship is when you're walking. By the way, you're going through life. You're doing what you normally do. Today, we would say, driving on the way. We don't walk by the way a lot. We drive on the way. Let me tell you, dads. Some of you have a lot of kids. I feel your pain, okay? But have some specific times where it's just you and one of the other children in the car. And you're driving somewhere. And talk. And listen. On the way, you'll see lots of things that are happening there. And we'll talk about that a little more as we go on. There's another example of this by-the-way type discipleship. And it's given in the life of the best discipler ever. Who was the best discipler ever? Jesus? Jesus, the best discipler ever, used this method. All right? Do you know, and understand that the Gospels aren't a minute-by-minute account of the life of Jesus, do you know that there are very few instances or accounts of Jesus giving His disciples devotions in the Gospels? All right, 12 disciples, come on, let's have devotions. We're going to read the Scripture. And then that was it for the day. You see some of it in something like the Sermon on the Mount. And when Jesus taught them to pray. And then in Matthew 24 when He was given some prophecies. But you know what most of the discipling Jesus did was? It was by the way. They're walking along and the disciples ask a question. Or Jesus is having a conversation with someone. And when Jesus finishes the conversation with that person, the disciples say, "What did you mean by that? What was going on there? Tell us what's behind that." It was just taking the normal occurrences of life and using them. I'm learning that the best times of pointing kids to Christ aren't always at the table. They should be. That should be part of it. But it goes far beyond that. Let me tell you, the topics that you can cover, by the way, are just absolutely amazing. I want to give you three areas here. These are just three small areas to where you can have a huge impact with your kids. And dads, let me tell you, now you're going to be confronted with some big things if you do this. But this takes an incredible amount of stress off of you. It's just talking with your children and telling them what you know. It's talking with your children and telling them what God has done in your life in a casual manner. Here's the thing. Especially when you get teenagers. Now, I'm not going to preach on having teenagers. Mine just turned 13. I have no experience in this, okay? But I am learning, and I remember being a teenager. And the general thing that teenagers do not want to do, teenage boys, especially, they don't want to sit down and have a very deep spiritual conversation with their dad face to face. Would you say that's true? That's not generally how they are. But let me tell you, when you're riding in a car, you're both looking this way. It's casual. You're looking forward. You can bring small things up. He can bring small things up. There's familiarity there. You're comfortable with each other. Same thing with daughters. Here are three areas that this, by the way, type discipleship can work. First of all, it can work when you're talking about relationships. Riding down the road. For example, we had family fun night on Friday night. So, do you have fun with your friends? Yeah, I had fun with my friends. What do y'all like to do? Child tells you. Move on for a little while. Y'all know I'm very intense. My personality is, okay, let's start the questioning here. 5 minutes of digging deep. I'll find out what's going on. Switch topics and go to something else. Then come back. You know, I was thinking some more about your friends. Do you ever experience any temptations with your friends that you don't know how to handle? Well, no, not really. Okay. You go on, but this is what happens sometimes. A few minutes later, you know, Dad, you asked about the temptations. I had something happen the other day. What you're telling your child is, I'm approachable. I care. And then as they bring that up and they start to talk about it, you can start applying truth to it. I remember one time one of my sons just kind of brought it up in this way. They said something like, Dad, it's hard not watching all the movies that everyone else does. And so, just start to ask questions. Ask questions like, why do you think we're careful about that? What do you know about Scripture that applies to this? And so then the child is starting to relate it, and they're starting to think through Scripture. And here's the thing. I'm having to learn this. Use the Bible. Don't beat them with the Bible. Bring the truth of Scripture out. Go away from it if you need to. Come back to it later on if you need to. It doesn't have to be, I said earlier, it doesn't have to be a long discourse. Sometimes that's too intense for kids. Sometimes you need that, but sometimes if every time your child asks a question, they think they're going to get a 30-minute lecture from Scripture, how open do they think you're going to be and they're going to want to come and talk to you on that comfortable basis? I'm not saying that there's not a place for that. I'm saying let's make sure that we are doing it in a balanced way. Look for the small opportunities to point them to Christ. You're riding down the road with your daughter, and your daughter says something like, Dad, the other day this boy said he liked me. And your response is, oh, we don't do that type of stuff. Or, what do you think that means? That he likes you. And you talk about it a little bit. And then you say, how does that compare to true love? How does that compare to the love that Christ has shown us? How does that compare to the love that should be between a husband and wife? Liking versus love? Baby, marriage is going to be great. Marriage is going to be great. We're asking God to bring someone in your life who loves you like Jesus. And truth is conveyed. Probably in a stronger way than you sitting down and going line by line, this is what we're going to do, this is what we're not going to do. But we do need that, don't we? I'm trying to say we don't just need one aspect of this. We need the full picture. The other day, I took Lee with me as I went to visit someone. I went to visit Miss Beverly in Commerce at the hospital. But we dropped in on this other lady that a church member had told me about, and she's pretty antagonistic towards Christianity. And so he got to sit there and listen to the conversation. And the conversation went something like this. Oh, I believe in God. Okay, well, that's a start. But the minute I brought up Jesus, I don't need Him. I don't need anything to do with that. Okay, well, how do you know about God? Well, I believe that God reveals Himself to me through things. And she told me this story of a lamp that flew at her one time, and that was God talking to her. And that she was outside one time, and this particular event happened. So she thinks that God works through these particular events. Do you think that God speaks to you in specific ways? Do you think there's any room for His Word to speak to you? And no, I don't think so. But we get in the car or in the truck and we're riding home.
And you can start asking the questions.
What did you think about that? How would you address that? Do we really need the Bible? And then they ask questions. It's by the way, discipleship. Using life to illustrate. So relationships is one way that you can do it. Another way that you can do this is work. By the way, or walking by the way, works great when you're working together. Now, the next 2 points are going to relate a little more to fathers and sons, but they can be applied to fathers and daughters as well, and moms and daughters. But when you're working, it's a great time to instill truth.
We were at the church last week and cutting the grass and weed eating and edging and all that. And I was talking with the boys about the need to go above and beyond
and to do everything with excellence.
And one of them said something like this: why do we work so hard if we're not getting paid? Okay, yeah.
Ask the question, well, why do we ultimately work? Do we work just for money? Is that the only reason we work?
Do we work so that we can get things? Do we work for men?
Or do we work, as it says in Colossians, that everything we do it heartily as to the Lord? So that even if we're underpaid, even if we're not paid, we're doing it so that we can glorify Christ with the things that we do.
We go beyond for Christ's glory.
We go beyond so that we can show Christ in the extra mile by the way teaching. Here's one other area. I'm going to use some frank talk in this. But church, it's time for some frank talk in this area. It's the area of purity.
You will have the greatest impact on your son's life, father, when you use, by the way, discipleship in the area of purity. No area needs it more than this.
Very few young men that I know will sit down and talk about, openly talk about sexuality with their father face to face. You know why?
Awkward.
Yeah, it is. And that's why most dads don't do it.
Dads, we've got to get past awkward in talking about sexuality with our sons. You get...
Notice what I said, not you have to.
You get to lead your sons toward one of the most glorious joys a man can ever experience. It is not embarrassing. It is not shameful to point your son towards God's ideal for sex. We've got to get over that. And that means that one talk about the mechanics of sex isn't enough.
You know what you have on your hands if you do that? You've got a disaster waiting to happen. Even worse than that, I know of one man who gave his son a short little booklet to read. Read this. And that is all the education he got from a fine Christian man about that matter.
Man up
and joyfully take the privilege that you have to take your son and help him get to his wedding day without baggage, ready to make a happy wife.
I know it's awkward. I know everything in you wants to just get the talk done and move on past that.
I did that. That's over with.
That's the diving board. That's just the start of it. It's not one big talk that will help in it, but it will be a lot of small talks as you walk in the way.
You're riding down the road, son.
You're hitting a rough time right now.
I know. I was there. I remember some of the things I went through. I want you to know that as you're going through those things, I'm open to talk about it. Have you ever been tempted in this way? And again, you don't want it to be in an intense, you got the flashlight here, where were you on the night of March the 5th, 19th? No. It's conversation. It's by the way, as you're walking by the way.
You're going to feel like dying sometimes, son. But let me tell you, God has an awesome gift waiting for you.
But Satan wants to destroy you.
Son, you're not alone. I've already walked this path. Let that son know that he can come to you with no fear to talk.
Let me tell you, men, I don't care how good your house is. I don't care what restrictions you have on your computers, on your electronic devices. Your son is going to be confronted by pornography. It is going to happen. It is too pervasive. The days of a magazine stuffed under a mattress are gone. It is everywhere now. Everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. You can lock it down, but he's going to have a friend pull his phone out someday and show it to him. I know of a young man who got hooked on it by a man just pulling a phone out in school, and he saw one picture and that was it. It's too pervasive. Somebody said, boy, you know, this is a really awkward conversation to have on Father's Day. I can't be silent anymore. I have too many guys walking in my office saying, I'm in the grips of this. I can't get out of it. I live in guilt all the time. I hate myself. I don't feel worthy of marriage. I don't feel worthy of God. It has wrecked my relationship. I have too many guys on campus who are coming to me and saying the same thing. Dads, rise up. Amen. Take control.
While you're walking casually by the way, ask, son,
are there any temptations you face that I can pray with you about? Yeah.
My sons, I've told them,
and I've told you, I'm not doing this perfectly, I'm just learning this, but I've told my sons, if you come to me for help, you will face no condemnation. You will get help. You'll get help. And the reason I have that attitude about it myself is because I was trapped in the very same thing. And I've never said that in public, but I was trapped in the very same thing. And my goal in life is to help as many men as I can get free from it.
By the way, men, some of you aren't able to talk with your sons about this because you're trapped in it themselves,
or yourselves.
I know
we would be shocked if we were to sit down, even in a church, a good church like this, shocked at the percentage of men who regularly look at pornography. Your jaw would hit the floor. So I want to make an offer. If you're tired of it, if you're fed up, if you're sick of it, come to me, I'll help you. Come to the pastor, he'll help you. There won't be any condemnation. It's too important. It's too important for that. Christ has given you victory. He wants you to experience that victory. Don't go along in defeat when you have the victory to access. Sons will get their sexual ethos from somewhere. That's their ethic, their set of beliefs.
They will get it from somewhere. Will they get it from their friends? Or will they get it from a father who is lovingly guiding them every step of the way?
Dads, this is the hardest part of what we've talked about today, but we've got to get past awkward and make our talks about sexuality and all that part of our by-the-way discipleship. Just a casual part of what we do. Important times of instruction,
but a casual part of what we do. Don't complicate it. Simplify it. When your son starts to get the body of a man, start treating him with some manly respect.
It's better for a man who loves him to take him through this than a bunch of little wannabe men squirts running around teaching him about it. And they will. And they do.
I know that there are some here who would say, I have no dad to do this. I've thought about that. I've wondered about that. But I know what we have here in this church. We have granddads. We have older men. We need you to step up too. We need you to step up and help. Every single young man in this church is too precious for him to go along the way without someone walking by the way with him occasionally helping him. Let's sum it up this way. Dads, I think we make it too hard sometimes when it comes to discipling our children. We live in guilt of not knowing how to be the spiritual leaders. We live in guilt because sometimes we'll sit down in the morning and we'll have devotions and we leave and we're like, all I did was just bore my kids stiff and we had a heartless prayer. I'm such a failure. Well, if that's the only opportunity you're taking in the day to convey the glory of Christ to them, then yes, you'll feel that way. But you've got minute after minute, hour after hour, whenever you're with them throughout the day, to keep pointing to Him. To keep pointing to the glorious Savior. To keep pointing to the Father who loves them unconditionally. Disciple them by pointing them to Christ as you live life with them. Listen. Ask questions. Let them ask questions. Be a by-the-way dad. Casual when needed. Informal when needed. Intense when needed. Weaving truth throughout the way. As you're weaving truth throughout the way, make sure you're not just teaching them moralism. Make sure as you're weaving truth throughout the way, you're always pointing to Jesus. Always pointing to Jesus as the solution. Always pointing to the gospel as the solution for everything that they're confronted with. If you don't mind, heads bowed, eyes closed. This might seem like an afterthought, but it really isn't. Ultimately, for a father to be able to point his children to the glorious Christ, they have to know Him first. It will be the same for a mother. You know, this pattern that we're talking about here really works with mothers. It works with anyone. But beyond that, every person has this deep-seated desire to be satisfied spiritually. And we look for this satisfaction in all the wrong places. A lot of people don't even realize that they're seeking satisfaction from God when they're pursuing other things. But they want to be satisfied, so they'll seek it in things, they'll seek it in relationships, they'll seek it in money, whatever it may be. But ultimately, that satisfaction is going to be found in Christ. Man was separated from God, woman was separated from God by sin a long time ago. And ever since then, man and woman has been trying to get back to God. They've tried to do it their own way. They've tried to do it through their own religions. They've tried to do it through works. They've tried to do it through money. They've tried to do it through baptism, whatever it may be. But there is only one way back to God, and it's through Jesus Christ. He is the door, He said in John chapter 10. I am the door. You enter in by Me. That's how you can know that you're back with God. That's how you can know that you have eternal life. And the way He provided was on the cross. He took the sin that each one of us have committed. He put it on Himself. He took it out of the way. It's been cast as far as the east is from the west. It's forgotten. And a person is now clothed with the righteousness of Christ if they have believed and they are able to have this relationship with God. It's by the way of the cross. And if there's someone here who says, you know, I've wondered. I feel like I've been working. I just don't know that I've ever really come to the point of reconnecting the relationship with God. To be glad to take the Scriptures and show you how you can know that that has occurred. That your sins are forgiven, but that you have a relationship with Christ. See, salvation isn't just about getting things taken care of so you can go to heaven. It's about God giving us real life here on this earth. Life that has His blessing.
life that has His favor, life that has His help, even in the midst of all the heartache that we face. Would love to take the Scriptures and show you how you can know that you have this eternal life. Dads, let me tell you something. Hopefully what I've given you, and I realize that there was some tough stuff in there too, but hopefully what I've given you will free you a little bit and take a little bit of pressure off of you. Say, I can do this, but you can't. I want to make sure that you know that even this aspect, you need God's help every step of the way. If you just come up and say, you know what, I'm going to be a by-the-way dad, I'm going to do this, I've got it down, this is easy, that you've missed it. It is, we walk in the fullness of the Spirit, pursuing God, and as we pursue God, we see instances that we can point our children to God, and the Holy Spirit is the one who's helping us and giving us the words that we need. Jesus, the greatest discipler, walked full of the Spirit. He was the one who was able to do this best. And Jesus said, without Him, we can do nothing. So don't just come up and make another commitment or there in your seat, make another commitment to be a by-the-way dad. Say, I'm going to depend. God, You give me the opportunities and I'll point my children to Jesus as we walk by the way. Father, thank You so much for the preaching of Your Word. Bless it now. That which has been of the flesh, I ask that You would put to the side, but that which has been of the Spirit, Spirit of God, would You drive it home lovingly in ways that a mere human like me never could. We love You now in Jesus' name. Amen.